God has taken Max and Sherry Greiner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Greiners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Greiner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgreinerart.com. That's www.maxgreinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for inviting me to address the Order of St. Luke's tonight. We've visited with you, my wife and I, on two different occasions, and we were pleased and surprised to learn that a group of Christians in Kerrville was seriously looking into and studying about divine healing today. And several people told us about you, and John Warden and some others, and that was something that we appreciated knowing. And there was two things that we were surprised at. One, that there was a group actively seeking divine healing through the church or through one of the more better-known denominations. And also that you were, first night we were here, I heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we don't talk about that too much over at the Baptist church, but those two things really surprised us. And I guess I was wondering, we visited the first night just a little bit, and was wondering about the results of the prayers and the study that you were doing, what kind of fruit was being borne out, and what I just hope tonight that the time I share and experiences that I share will be of some value in this search that we're all trying to better understand the Lord and what He's doing in our midst. Certainly, I don't have all the answers, and I don't understand a lot about what's going on in our lives. We've been experiencing many kinds of miracles, and not just healing, and but healing has been a part of it, which has really been a pleasant surprise to us in the last couple of years since we prayed a prayer for a deeper walk with the Lord, which some denominations call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has started healing some people, and this is now included doctors and nurses and dentists and psychiatrists and Southern Baptist missionaries and a lot of highly educated people, most of which are Southern Baptist. And again, our background, we really don't do a lot of study on modern day contemporary healing of the Lord, but that doesn't seem to slow the Lord down when He wants to do something. And there's a mystery to this. And I'm not sure anybody has the answers. You may hear some of them try to tell you they do, but I'm really not sure that God gives that to any man. We've certainly seen a lot of healing, but not all have been healed, and we don't understand all of that. Some people that we know that we just can't put our finger on it as to why every time somebody receives or doesn't receive. God apparently reserves that to himself and his sovereignty. But what we've tried to do is be obedient and just pray when the Lord says pray, and not really get into trying to analyze everything, but just when he sets it up, we pray. And, you know, none of us stop going to doctors just because a particular doctor is not able to help us with a certain condition. And, there's really not any reason why we should quit seeking the Lord because a particular thing is not dealt with yet. And God works in so many different ways. That's part of what I really like to share, is some of the variations that we've seen. One thing is true, is that as I've learned through this, we need to be sensitive people as we pray for people and as we share about divine healing, because a lot of damage can be done when there is that insensitivity to people, and to try to say that we have all the answers, and to say this person's healed because of this and this one's not, we really don't have that. We're supposed to be obedient and pray and turn the results over to the Lord. Just briefly, some of you, I think maybe you've heard me speak at other places, but just to let you know, I'm a Southern Baptist, a member of Trinity Baptist Church here in Kerrville, 40 years of Southern Baptist now, third generation. And before we started experiencing a lot of these healing miracles, my wife and I, Sherry, went through quite a few trials here a few years ago, medical, financial, marital, and it got to the point where a humbling had to occur for us. And I'm not sure if that's how the Lord does it with everybody, but that's how it happened with us. And it was really at the point when I said, I give up. Lord, if you're going to save this deal, it's got to be you. We can't fix all these things that are going wrong in our life. And it was at that point that a Lord brought a Presbyterian man into my midst, and we prayed this prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, he gave it to me in terms that we couldn't refuse. He said, you want everything God has for you? And I said, sure, that's true. I don't believe there's a second experience, but I sure want everything God has. And I guess that was good enough for the Lord, because a lot of things have happened that have convinced us there is something else to the yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and asking for his gifts, and that's really all it is. I guess what's been interesting is we've seen a real cause and effect kind of relationship with prayer and with healing, and I've tried to document it, and I started a prayer journal that every prayer I say now and everything that God does, I try to put it down, because it's sometimes months, or even in some cases, one lady with cancer, it was a year later before we heard that God had touched her and healed her, and she, waited a whole year. And so I would recommend those of you that are really interested in this and are praying, write down your prayers and just see how the Lord works. Some of the things that have happened are scientifically unexplainable, in the sense that the doctors can't explain what they're now seeing. And that's kind of interesting too. And I've got a number of my closest friends are doctors and psychiatrists and dentists, and it is somewhat fascinating to all of us to see the Lord do some things. And it's a lot of what's happened with us. People have been healed of things the doctors can't fix. They've been to doctors for years and years and years, and I don't know if the Lord just likes specializing in that or what. He sure hadn't limited himself to that, but for sure, there's a whole lot of that shows up, and that's really neat, because the doctors have already thrown up their hands, and the people have gone the natural route and have had no help. So what you're going to, I would like to share is really our own personal observation of what's happened, and I'll try to be as truthful as I can and remember as best as I can some of these details, because many times I've just written down notes quickly on a piece of paper as it's occurred. But first, if I could, let me just say a quick prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to give me the words to do this, if I could. Father, thank you for being here tonight. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just descend in a powerful way, and that you would just anoint this service, and that we would receive all that you would have for us tonight. And Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and Father, just give me the words you would have me say, And we just ask that it, your will be done tonight. And I just thank you for this fellowship, Father, that's seeking to know more about you. And God, we just turn it over to you and the Holy Spirit. And I'm trusting you to provide me the words, Holy Spirit. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Apparently, what we're seeing is that the modern-day miracles that we're seeing are similar to the biblical miracles. I mean, there's a correlation that to what you can see in the Bible is God seems to be working the same way, that he really hasn't stopped and changed from that pattern. And everything that happens, we try to compare back with the Bible. And in that sense, they are the same. But beyond that, they all seem to be different. They all seem to be unique and special. And we really haven't had a repetition of the same exact way God's healed. And that variation is really what I would like to share tonight. Apparently, God is not limited by our own understanding of what he does and doesn't do. I mean, a lot of churches and denominations think they've got it all figured out about how God works, and a lot of people do. But apparently, God just jumps over all those walls and stuff that we try to build up, and he does what he wants to. And one of the neatest things about how he's worked with us is he's set it up. It's been kind of a sovereign thing. There really hadn't been organized prayer services or any of that kind of thing. It's just he's sovereignly set it up. And for a Southern Baptist, that's a good thing to know, because this makes, you know, some of us nervous to do some of the things that we've been doing. But when you see God working in it, it gives you the confidence to step out and to say the prayer. The first observation that I'd like to share is, first of all, it's not us, it's not me, it's the Lord, and he just uses us as his vessels, all of us, all yielded Christians. And the first, you know, example I'd like to share is in December of 1990, right after Christmas, Sherry and I had returned from Port Arthur, where we had Christmas, and had gone over to Ken and Pearl Dack's house here in town, who some of you may know, and we had a pet rabbit that they were keeping for Christmas. And so we went over there, and as I was there, Pearl had lost her glasses all day long, and she'd been looking for her glasses, and so she was kind of in a tizzy a little bit about trying to find her glasses. And we're there to pick up the rabbit, and I wasn't feeling that good, actually, that day. I had sinus and a headache and just wasn't feeling up to speed at all. And at that moment, as we were picking up the rabbit, their daughter, Vera, showed up, and Sherry had mentioned to me that she'd had a neck that had been frozen from an injury since August. And as I was there, and all of a sudden the elements kind of came together, and I kind of felt that sense from the Holy Spirit that we were supposed to say a prayer. And then Sherry said, "Here's Vera, why don't we say a prayer for her neck?" And again, I wasn't feeling spiritual, to be honest with you. I mean, and here's what I got in my mind. What God talks to everybody, I guess, is different. But to me, it was like I said, "But God, I don't feel good." And it kind of came back, it's not you, Griner, it's me. And I said, okay, that's right. So it didn't make any difference how I felt. And so we just prayed a little simple prayer there with my daughter and my wife and Ken and Pearl and Vera. We just held hands and we said, "God, would you please heal Vera of this pain that she's having and this frozen neck in the name of Jesus." And nothing formal, just standing right there, no anointing of oil, just held hands. And in Jesus' name, and we said, also, P.S., Lord, would you please find Pearl's glasses she's been looking for. And so we got the rabbit, we went home, we got home. As soon as we got home, the phone rang, and it's Pearl, and she says, "Let me tell you what happened. First, I immediately walked over and found my glasses where they were, had been sitting." And she says, "But that's not the big news. The big news is that Vera got in the car and was getting on Interstate 10 out here, and she turned her head to look for the traffic, and her neck was free and unfrozen." And she said, you know, she's as excited as she can be. And then Pearl called back the next day, and said it was the first time that Vera was able to sleep without the pain medication, and that she'd spent the whole day turning her neck. And so, you know, that was just one little example of how it's really not us. I mean, we don't have to, worry about how qualified we are, because none of us are qualified. I mean, it's the Lord. All he's looking for is somebody to say a prayer at the right time, and he sets up and lines up all the circumstances. Another thing that, an observation we've made is that God may have other purposes than physical healing that he's got you there for. Now, I know this is a study of healing with this particular group, but I think what we've learned and is worth sharing is that yield to the Lord for whatever he wants you to do. And healing will probably be a part of that. But you know, to take part of what he has and not want the other may mean you don't do some of the things he'd like you to do. And so I guess it's that openness to whatever the Lord says do today. You know, that's what I think we're supposed to do as believers. And some of those things will involve healing. Another specific example, a lady here in town that some of you may know, Iris Turner, and she just recently passed away. Back in October of 1990, I was out at my studio, and Sherry called up on the phone, and she said a lady has come in the gallery, it was a stranger at that time, and was wondering if you would pray for her friend, Iris Turner. The lady that was there was Marie Hurt, who again some of you may know here in town. And I did not know Iris, I did not know Marie. Okay, as Sherry hands me the phone to talk to this Marie, I felt that little voice in my mind, that still soft voice, say, "This isn't about healing, this is about salvation." So as I answered the phone, I said, Marie said, "Well, would you pray for my friend?" And I said, "Well, certainly, I'd be glad to do that. But are you sure she's saved?" And Marie said, "Oh, yeah, she's saved. I'm sure she's saved." And then she went, "Paul's the same?" She said, "No, I'm not sure if she's saved." And I said, "Well, what I'm getting from the Holy Spirit is this is about salvation." So she said, "Well, let me go find out and I'll call you back." So anyway, she went back to Marie's, or to Iris's, and Marie called me back the next day and said, "You're right. She's not saved. And would you come over and explain salvation?" And again, I'm just an artist, and I would assume she would have called a pastor or a priest or somebody, but, you know, Marie said, "Would you come over and explain salvation to her?" And I said, "Well, sure." So I got my little Baptist little, you know, tract and the whole deal about salvation, and put it in my pocket, and I read it all ready to go through the plan. Well, again, God, that's not us, because I got to this meeting on October the 5th, 1990. All these people were strangers. And I walk in the door, and the first thing that Iris says, she introduces herself, and then she says, "What I really want to know is, am I going to heaven? Am I saved?" I mean, you know, she says, "Cancer, the healing, that's not what's most important to me. What's important is I want to know I'm going to heaven." And that was like a confirmation to me that that's exactly what God was doing there, was the salvation first. Now, here's another interesting thing that happened. She said, "By the way, 30 minutes before you got there, before you got here, all the pain left. And I've been without pain for the last 30 minutes. Well, I'm not sure what happened 30 minutes before I got there, but what I would think is that she in her heart decided she wanted to be saved. And she, the Lord and Iris touched right at that moment. He took away her pain and saved her. Now, I went ahead and went through the little Baptist booklet and explained it, but I think it was all done because her heart was ready and she received that. And we also prayed, and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit along with a friend, the Norwood King, that was there. And it was kind of interesting because Marie called up and said, called up a few days later, and she said, "Boy, Iris isn't the same anymore. Plus, the pain's still gone, and her spirits are all up, and Norwood's not the same anymore either." And what was when Marie first called, she said Iris had three weeks to live possibly with this old cell cancer. Well, Iris lived another year after our prayer. you know, I don't know. God decides all of this, but I know for sure he wanted her saved. And the way all those confirmations came down, that was first. And secondly, he took away the pain. And during that year, from what I seem to remember that Marie had said, is that Iris was able to make peace and to with everybody that she loved, and to get in the right relationship with everybody. And again, that's an example of how it's really not us, because again, God did what he wanted to do before I got there. But it's, you know, that's how he uses these vessels. You know, intercession is an interesting thing too. I had a lady call that went to Trinity Baptist Church here in town, and she had listened to the two testimony tapes that we had that we had recorded or were recorded at places where I've spoken around the country. And she called up on the phone one night. This was in, I guess it was May of 91, and she said, I just listened to your tapes, and I prayed for a couple of my sick friends, and God just healed my knee. Can he do that? And I said, yeah, he sure can. And matter of fact, he likes to do that when you're praying for somebody else and he heals you. And she said that she had been in pain for a week with a knee problem. And I don't know if it was arthritis or what, but that she was saving up money to go to a doctor. And when she prayed for the friends, the Lord healed her. Another thing that just recently happened again with intervention, where again it's the Lord, is I was in Houston at the National Family Conference, and a young lady came up. I had my big sculpture where I've been invited to show the bronze of Jesus and Peter, Darlene Gardner, and God just, you know, he sets these things up, but this young lady shows up, and she, pretty soon we find out that she'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, are you a member of this church? And this was Second Baptist Church, you know, the biggest churches in the country. And she said, yes, I'm with God's Secret Service. And I said, okay, well, first time I'd heard that phrase. But the next day, Darlene came back with some friends, actually with her parents. She came back with her parents, and she said, we've got a friend named Jane Elder, who was 88 years old, member of the church, and apparently was a greatly loved lady. And they said, Miss Elder is in the hospital in severe pain, and it looks very bad. We were wondering if you would go to the hospital and pray for her. And the parents, again, were Southern Baptists there, and they said, I said, you know, again, folks, this isn't me. This is the Lord. And he, you know, really doesn't need me. This is him. Why don't we pray from here first and ask him to make her well? And if he wants me to go or anybody else, let's pray and just ask him to tell us what to do. Because again, I think what's important in this is not to go in the flesh, but to go when God sovereignly sets it up, and you don't have to force anything. And so again, we just held hands, and we just prayed, Lord, would you please heal this lady? And again, I never met her, seen her. She does not know me. At this moment in time, I'm sure she doesn't even have any idea who I am. But Darlene came back the next day, and she said, the pain's gone. They don't need any more medication. She's checked out of the hospital. And a week later, after I got back to Kerrville, a couple just happened to show up from Second Baptist Church and mentioned her and said she was back at work, and everything was great. Now, you know, the observation I've got here, first of all, is I was just one probably of maybe hundreds of prayers that were being said for this lady that everybody loved. But God did something there as the daughter, as Darlene shared. She said, you don't know what an impact that prayer made on my parents when they prayed and they saw their friend get well the next day. Now, you know, God works through everybody, and prayers are cumulative. But again, his timing is so wonderful, the way he does stuff. It's like everybody gets blessed. And so what I'm saying is I was just one more prayer. We were one more prayer. All of us together collectively were just one more prayer that added to a whole pile of prayers that had been lifted up for this lady. But God chose to make her well. And, you know, she was 88 years old, which also raises the question, does God have an age limit on him healing somebody? And I don't think he does. you know, because it doesn't seem like it to us. Another example of that was Sherry and I were on the way to Orlando, Florida this past summer in July, stopped in Port Arthur, and her neighbor that watched Sherry and I date all her whole life came walking over to the house, and she was 88, and she looked at the sculpture, and we were about to leave for Orlando, and I looked down at her leg, and she had a dress, and right below the hem of her dress was this really horrible-looking open sore that was running, and fluid was running, and blood coming out of the sore on her leg. And I, you know, if it had been an inch higher, I wouldn't have seen it as well. If the dress of hem had been longer, we wouldn't have seen it. But here we are about to say a prayer and ask God to take care of Sherry and I on the way to Orlando. And there's the sore. So I said, Miss Dion, what's that on your leg? And she said, well, it's milk leg. It's nothing. I've had it all my life since 1924. And I said, well, we're about to say a prayer. Do you mind if we pray and ask God to heal your leg? And she said, no, that'd be fine. I said, you do believe in God, don't you? She said, yes, I do. And you do believe Jesus is God, don't you? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, well, let's pray. And so we just prayed and said, God, would you know, please heal Miss Dion's leg? And again, it was her four or five of us plus Sherry's parents just holding hands. And we came back through Port Arthur a month later, and we just pulled in the driveway. And as soon as we did, she comes this time almost running across the road. And she comes up and she says, look at my leg. God's healed me. And I looked down and there was this little tiny scab on her leg. And I, you know, my eyes got big and I said, by the way, what was that again? And she said, well, that's milk leg. And I said, she said, I've had it since 1924, you know, 69 years. The doctors hadn't been able to heal it. They wanted to amputate my leg at one point. I asked Dr. Phil Webb, my good friend here in town, you know, what was that condition? And he said it probably was a deep infection of the bone, which is genetic, and antibiotics couldn't treat it. And so it's chronic, and it always comes back. But the Lord healed it. And, you know, you got me. It's the Lord. And, you know, we prayed this prayer. It's real funny because we said, God, thank you for healing Miss Dion's leg. And, Lord, would you get that little scab right there? And, and we came back at Christmas, and she came over again, and we took a picture of her, and she said, you know, it's God. It's the first time in 69 years that it hadn't recurred. And again, this was the thing the doctors couldn't help. Another example that's kind of interesting, too, is the deal about, you know, having to say the right words, having to do it in a certain way. God apparently is kind of... I think when he wants to get something done, he'll get it done in spite of us almost, that we can do even some of the wrong things, and if our heart's trying to be right, God will still do what he wants to do. And a quick example of that is I had a nurse that came in the gallery back in May of 90, and she had heard rumors about the first three people we prayed for that God healed all three at the same time. A Southern Baptist missionary was one of those three, and she knew all the people. And she was a nurse, trained nurse, and this was really a problem for her, for what she knew. She was a believer, but this just didn't add up with her her understanding of how God worked. And so she was there at the gallery, and they were about to go to the Arts and Crafts Fair here in town. And so I said, would you like to hear the whole story? She said, yeah. So I shared the whole story of how God healed her three friends. And her daughter was there, and her husband was there listening. And she got up from the couch and said, can I use your restroom? And I said, sure. And she said, I've got a bladder infection. I ought to get you to pray for that. Now, she kind of flippantly even said it. So when she came back, I said, well, why don't we? I mean, it's an easy thing to ask. And so we just held hands and said, you know, Lord, would you heal this lady's bladder infection? And in Jesus' name, amen. They went on to the Arts and Crafts Fair. Well, I didn't see them for about a month later until July, and I was at an American Bell Association convention, and I happened to go to lunch with the lady and her daughter, and I'm sitting there eating my sandwich, and I looked up at her and I said, how did that your bladder infection do? Did it ever get well? And she said, yeah, it got well, and I probably was the doctor's antibiotics. It slowly got well, and I kept eating my sandwich. I said, oh, I guess we can't tell if that was the Lord. And she said, no, but he healed my back. And I said, "Your back? You didn't say a thing about a back." And she said, "Well, I know I didn't. I've lived with it all my life. I had two fused discs, and I've been in pain every day of my life for like 25 years, I think it was." And she said, "When you said that prayer that day in the gallery, when we all prayed, the pain instantly left, and I was in terrible pain right then." And I said, "No, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. We prayed for a bladder infection, right? And you don't think God healed that?" She said, "Yeah, that's right. And but we didn't pray for your back, and that's healed, right?" She goes, "Yeah, that's right." And I went, "Okay." And you know, her daughter, her whole life, all she'd known is her mother in pain with this back condition. And her mouth was, and she hadn't heard that either, that God had healed her. Now then the mother said, "Now I want to tell you this. My daughter now knows and my husband knows, but I'm not going to tell anybody else." And I said to her, I said, "Well, ma'am, I don't know much about this, but I think you're supposed to give God the glory for what he did. You know he healed something the doctors couldn't heal for 25 years, and yet you're not going to give him the glory?" And she said, "No, it's, you know, I've just been a nurse, and it makes me uncomfortable, and I would be embarrassed." And I said, "Well, I would sure recommend giving him the glory and witnessing, because a lot of times the reason the miracles happen are to bring other people into the kingdom and to let people know Jesus is a real God and is a living God." And she didn't want to give him the credit. Well, by the end of the week of this convention, I came up to her again and I said, "How's your back?" And she said, "Well, there's a little bit of pain coming back." And I said, "Well, we can pray again, but I really think you ought to change your decision on giving God the glory." And she said, "Well, it's still not bad compared to what I had for 25 years. I said, and so we prayed again, but to my knowledge, she never was willing to give God publicly the glory for what he did, to acknowledge him before men. And, you know, and here she went from May to July without any pain. And then when she said, "I won't give him the glory," in her own words, then a little bit of pain came back. Now, I have no idea how this all works in the supernatural realm, but I know you're dishonoring the Lord when you don't give him the glory, and I know you give place to Satan to come back at you. And I, you know, I don't understand all of it, but this is the way it happened. So I guess, you know, the conclusion of that and an observation is, you're supposed to give him the glory, but also it's nice to know that you don't have to do everything perfect and God can still do what he wants to do. You can pray for a bladder and he can heal a back. We've had another interesting observation about persistence. Here at the gallery in May of 91, on a Friday on the 23rd, my employee, Jose Mendoza, was having a pain in his knee, and it was enough that it was really hurting him. And so that morning, when I got to work, I said, "Well, let's pray about it." So we prayed, and no relief. Then Dr. Wayne Rux here showed up, who's here tonight, and a good friend. He happened to come to the gallery, and I said, "Come on, Wayne, let's go pray for Jose." Went down there, prayed for Jose again. No change. Later, Paul Sellers, who some of you may know, an artist in town here that's had some incredible things happen, he showed up. I said, "Come on, Paul, let's go down and let's pray for Jose's leg." No change. Okay, before Paul left, we prayed a fourth time. Now, we were hitting his knee with a lot of prayer, you know, four times in a row. And so, no change. Well, Jose comes back on Monday. And I said, "How's your knee?" And he said, "Well, after y'all all prayed, it got worse." and he said, "But I woke up the next morning and it was all gone. It was well." And again, you know, I don't know. I know that, you know, we can make some guesses as to why some of this happened without knowing it from a word from the Lord. It's hard to tell. But it seemed like prayer was cumulative, and for some reason, it got worse. Now, I don't know if that was Satan trying to say, you know, "Don't believe, trust God on this," and hitting him one last time, or if it was God saying, "I want to see if you'll walk in this a minute. I want to see if you'll trust me with this and see." But in any event, the next morning it was, or Saturday morning, it was well. And I won't go into the full detail of the story, but the same exact thing happened the next day with Marie Hurt when she called on the phone recorder at 9:30 p.m. Again, maybe this is a coincidence in timing, maybe not, but she had been taking medication for severe stomach pain, for pneumonia, and it was causing severe stomach pain. And here was this message at 9:30 on the phone recorder, and I didn't feel like it again, but so I returned the call. So I called her up, and she was in pain right then. And so we prayed, and she called back the next morning and said, all the pain's gone. And I got to sleep for the first time in 2 weeks worth of pain that she's had. It all ended. But she said, you know, it's the funniest thing. Like you paid, it got prayed, it got worse. And but then it all left, you know. And again, I don't know, but both of those two times we prayed, I'm not sure what God was trying to communicate to me on that, but in two cases it got worse before it got better. But then in both cases it was better completely the next morning. You know, formality on all this. As you can tell, this has been pretty informal with us. There hasn't been a lot of, you know, formality to what we've been doing. Another interesting thing that happened was we were coming to church there at Trinity Baptist on Easter of 1990, and my wife and I and my daughter showed up at the parking lot. We're right out in the parking lot, and another lady that come, it's a member of Trinity, was coming out, a friend that was in our Sunday school class, and she's going moaning and groaning, and everybody could hear her coming into church. And she's kind of a loud person anyways, but not very shy, but you could hear this moaning and groaning. And and she was asking a deacon to go out and get her purse or something that she left in her car, and she couldn't walk the parking lot. And I said, you know, she's right there in front of us. And I said, well, what's wrong? She said, well, I've got this, I believe it was a corn on her foot, and it was in real severe pain. She couldn't walk. And there was Sherry and I. There she was in front of us. It was Easter morning, great day for miracles. And I said, well, why don't we say a prayer and ask God to take away this pain so you can come back into church and hear what Dr. Blackburn has to say this morning. And she said, okay. So we just prayed and said, God, would you please take away this pain in Jesus' name and heal this thing, this foot, whatever it is. And amen. Sherry and I went in. We dropped my daughter off at the nursery. 5 or 6, 8 minutes later, we came back by. And we looked over in the corner, and there was this lady standing in the corner by herself, staring at her feet. Just like this. All the people are whizzing by trying to get the... And she's over there staring at her feet. Didn't even know we were around. And I go, hey, said her name. I said, how's your foot? She said, I don't feel any pain. And I said, well, give God the glory. And again, that's what she said. You know, that's what I know she was wondering if she should go into the restroom and take off her hose and find out, you know, at that moment what was there. But she wasn't feeling the pain. That's what she told me, and that's what everybody that was standing there overheard. And we saw her a few days later, and I said, how's your foot? She said, well, it's well. I guess the doctor's medicine finally started working. And she wasn't ready to give God all the credit for that. Now, when you've got medicine going, you've got doctors going, you've got the Lord, and the Lord certainly works through doctors and medicine, for sure. But some of those, it gets kind of hard to tell, was this, you know, exclusively the Lord, or was this the medicine? But all I know is she knew the pain left that instant. And I would tend to think it was the Lord, even though, you know, she wasn't ready in her own testimony to say it was. Hazel right here, we had something happen just a couple of days ago. Again, we talked about how informal this can be. This was on January 7th of this this year, 1992. I came in the front door of our house. Sherry said, I was late, matter of fact, coming home. Sherry said, Hazel was in some pain. Would you, why don't we go say a prayer for her? And I said, okay. And so I don't even think I closed the front door. We went right straight out the back door. I never even slowed down. And we're just as we come out, there's Hazel pulling out of her garage in her car, about to leave to come to church here. And I had really not was not sure exactly what the problem was, but we don't have to know everything. It's the good news about this. And so she's in the car, and God's timing is so perfect. I mean, you know, another 30 seconds, and she'd have been gone. But she wasn't. Instead, she was right there. And so we just held hands while she sat in the car with the motor running. And we said, Lord, would you please heal Hazel? And I think what it was, and you can correct me, Hazel, but it was pain in the back, and that she could not stand up straight. And apparently it had been giving her a lot of pain. And so we just said, Lord, you know, would you please stop this pain? And even as we said that in Jesus' name, you made a comment, and like you were thinking you were feeling something. But she came on to church, and then I guess it was the next day, I went out to take the garbage out, and you caught me there, Hazel, and said, let me tell you what happened. And apparently the Lord took away the pain, and she was able to, stand again and walk again erect. And then, you know, what touched me was what you said, is that when you got home and when it sunk into you that the Lord had touched you personally, that you broke down and cried, you know. And that's kind of neat, because when he does something like that, you realize of all the things going on in the universe, he took time to do something special for you, you know. Again, I don't understand all of this, and I know that we're still praying, and I think some pain did come back. Is that right? A little bit? Yeah. But we'll keep praying. Jesus said, keep knocking. I mean, when he prayed for the blind man, he said, can you see yet? And the guy said, well, it's better. And so Jesus said, well, let's pray again. And so, again, I don't understand all of this, but let's keep praying. And if you got symptoms, keep knocking. Here's an interesting one we haven't shared in a public group other than our very first gallery meeting. And my wife, if she was here, probably wouldn't let me share this one with you. But it's true, as amazing as it is. Back in October of 89, right after all this first started happening, we prayed this prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'd seen these first three people healed. We were taking a walk on our property, which is out in the country, which we took about a 2-mile walk every day. And we had a 12-year-old Irish setter that had been like a child in the family. And he had hip dysplasia. And those of you that have big dogs, it's an imperfection of the ball joint and pain. And you either do a major operation and try to improve it. We fixed one hip with a veterinarian, but we never had the heart to do the other one because the surgery was so brutal. So this old dog, which we loved, every day after he'd run like a bird dog does, he'd moan and groan for a couple of hours after we'd get in at night, and we'd give him a couple of aspirin, and that's the way it was. Well, Sherry, she was hearing this moaning and groaning, which I've tuned out, and she said, Max, come pray for the dog. And I went, honey, I'm not sure this stuff is for dogs. And she said, come pray for the dog. And I said, but honey, I'm not sure it's even all right to pray. She said, come pray for the dog. And I went, Lord, I got to pray for the dog, you know, to keep the peace in the family. And so we came over to that old dog, and he's laying there on his pad, and he's just moaning and groaning. And I think my little daughter was there at the time, which was pretty small. And we just put our hands on that old dog's hip. And I remember saying, Lord, I'm not sure if it's okay to pray for dogs, but if it's okay, and all right, would you please take away the pain of this old dog in Jesus Christ's name? Amen. Secondly, we said, Jesus Christ, he quit moaning. And that dog did not moan again. I think it was until like 4 months later when he fell off the porch and injured himself. He was getting old. And yet he did all the same running, and he went all this time. And in between there, it's also kind of interesting, God gave me the opportunity to witness to a veterinarian. maybe that's why that happened. I don't know. But all of a sudden, I had a veterinarian testimony that I didn't have before. Observation of that is apparently, the Lord is a good God. And if it's okay to do, it's okay to pray about. And whatever your needs are, ask him. It won't hurt a thing to ask him. And the other thing, though, that was interesting is we prayed for the dog, you know, months later when he fell off the porch, and we didn't see the instant pain go away. Now, what the difference was, I don't know. But to be totally honest with you, I have to say that. And maybe it was with the veterinarian. I mean, maybe that's what that was about, was that time. But in any event, those things happen. Now Jesus tells us that not all of the health problems that we experience are because of sin or because of something demonic or anything that we did or our parents did. I mean, Jesus is real clear about that, and it's a good thing that scripture's in there, because we'd all have a hard time with this whole concept of praying for healing and not seeing it immediately. But some apparently the problems are related to the demonic realm and evil and things that happen, major sins that have occurred. We had a thing, an incident here real recently again in October of 91, and a lady came into the gallery, and she was in her mid-30s, and again she felt like, she comes in and we hear this, believe it or not, quite a bit, but it always sounds strange. It's like, I felt like I was supposed to come in here, and I don't know why I'm in here. I've never been in here before, but I feel like I'm supposed to be in here. And she's there a minute, and Sherry and I kind of put our ears on, and Sherry happened to be there this time. And in a minute, the girl says, God saved my life. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah. And I asked her to explain what she meant. And she apparently had anorexia, bulimia, was about to die from that, was in the hospital already, and I think either she was about to commit suicide or had already tried, or but suicide thoughts were there. And what she said is that she just, you know, screamed out to the Lord and said, Lord, heal me or take me, but I can't live this way. And and she said, when she said those words, she was flooded by a warm light and embraced like a hug, and was just filled with peace and joy. And she began to speak in this unknown language. And she said, you know, I'm not sure what happened to me. And Sherry and I looked at each other and we said, we know. And sure enough, she was Southern Baptist. And you know, we don't provide a real good explanation for that kind of a thing. And so we smiled and we shared with her that what she had received was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God did it sovereignly. Nobody had to lay hands on her, but basically she did. She yielded to the Lord and she gave up and surrendered, and he sovereignly baptized her and gave her her own prayer language without any understanding of that it's even exist. And so we shared with her a while and prayed for her and thanked God for that, the Lord for that great miracle. And it, by the way, she said he also healed her of the anorexia, bulimia at that time. And she's never had any problems since then. And but she came back then in December of the same year, 91, and so we had given her the two tapes. And on that tape is a testimony from a young lady that God put in our life that had a lot of problems, emotional kind of things that happened, and God used my wife and I to help her. Well, anyways, this lady shared that that she had been molested and sexually assaulted by her brother and his friends from age 6 to 10, and that she'd never forgiven them. And I said, you know, do you want to try to do that? And she said, yeah, I do, but I don't think I can. And I said, well, you know, we were through this once before with another lady, and said, that's okay, I know who can give you the power. And so we said, let's ask God to give you the power to forgive your brother and these boys. And so we prayed that prayer, and then she prayed in her own words and forgave her brother and these other boys that had done this to her. And, you know, the tears, some curses here. And so we prayed with, again, we asked the Lord to help us get Satan out of this situation, because often when there's molestation, you know, the demonic realm takes root. And she had done the forgiveness and God had lifted that, but apparently the demonic had to be dealt with. And I know this stuff sounds kind of crazy and far out, but you folks are not as startled by that probably, since you've been studying this, as some of us from my own denomination would be. But we prayed first, and then we spoke against the curses. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we break any curses that have come against you, and we cast out any demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden she said her stomach started rumbling and just started moving. And we said, in Jesus' name, you got to go. And again, she was flooded with emotion. And I believe something happened. Again, there was a manifestation. And because she was a Christian and already received the baptism, the manifestation wasn't violent. Apparently, I talked to some people and some pretty highly educated doctors and policemen and other people that have seen some pretty violent manifestations from people that aren't saved, that don't have, that Christ already has them. But in this lady, it was just all of a sudden movement and rumbling in the stomach when we said, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And so, you know, some of these things are pretty serious. I'll share one last one since we've got, well, let's see, there's these two to share. They're both pretty incredible. Let me share one. I've been speaking all around the country at different churches where I've been invited. And after I gave a testimony at one church, a lady came up to me and said, "I need to talk to you. I don't think there's anyone else in my church I can talk to." She was Southern Baptist. And she started talking to me and telling me what the problem was. And I just witnessed a miracle that God had worked in our lives. And so this was following my testimony. But she starts telling me this stuff, and I start hearing this, and I said, "I think we better get out in the parking lot." And so we went out the door, out of the church, because what she was saying, people walking by shouldn't be hearing. And she said, and she was about to fall apart. She was frantic. And she said, "This morning before church, I've been hearing voices in my head, and they've been saying that I should get a butcher knife and go kill my husband and my baby while they sleep." And I'm going, "Lord, here I am, you know, with very little experience in this, but here's this lady telling me this stuff. It's very serious stuff." And she said, "Please help me." And I said, "You know, all I can do is pray. I'm just an artist, but I can sure pray for you right now." And again, this was back in October of '89, and again, we had not seen some of the things that we've seen since then. But God is a great God and a very powerful God, and I just probably prayed first, and then I came against Satan in Jesus Christ's name, and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind up every foul spirit that's here, and I cast you out in the name of Jesus." And she just instantly calmed down. I mean, just changed, and just the peace of the Lord came over in that moment. And again, you know, nothing, I guess what I'm saying is I didn't have to know a whole lot. I didn't have to know anything except to know the name of Jesus. It's really all it was, the only thing I had to know. And he dealt with that situation. And this lady, you know, felt that she was possessed or at least was being attacked by the demonic realm. And apparently so, because since that, all that has lifted and left now. And she's fine. I was able to find out and follow up later to see what this could have come from, and sure enough, she was another little girl that had been sexually molested during her childhood and had those same deep problems, and now it was manifesting and was coming against her husband and their baby. But again, God set her free right there. So how are we doing on our time? Do we got about, what, 10 minutes more? Does that work? Okay. There's one last, I guess it's okay to share this. And we've been seeing some things. You know, the healing is very positive. And we're excited and to see God when we say a prayer and he do work a miracle. But the dark side of it is a little frightening at times, even though, you know, he that's with us is greater than he that's in the world. And sometimes I wonder why we are moving as fast as we are and experiencing some of the things we are, because we haven't been looking for this. But we, back in May of 90, I was sitting in the Sunday school class there at Trinity Baptist Church, and Dr. Rux, right there in the room, came up to me and said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And we were about to go to church, and he started telling me about a little girl, 15-year-old girl, that he knew about that had some real problems and was involved with a satanic cult in San Antonio. And he said, "And I've got this letter that she signed with her blood and renounced her relationship to Jesus and given her soul to Satan." And I went out and looked at the letter that he had in the car. And I told Wayne then, I said, "I think this is as serious as it gets when somebody renounces Jesus and gives over their soul to Satan. That's as serious as it gets." And it was signed in her blood. And Wayne said, "She's got a 3-hour pass out of the hospital. Would you come with me to talk to her?" And I went, but God's a powerful God, and it's not us again. But what happened was, I decided to go with Wayne because he asked me, and because I told Sherry she didn't want me to go. She said, "What if it was our daughter? Wouldn't you want somebody in the name of Jesus to go to try to be of some help to her?" And she had to agree. So we called everybody in the state we knew of that could really pray, and we got them praying for us. And Wayne and I went down there to San Antonio to meet with this girl and her mother. And as I remember the story, she had been in the state hospital. They wouldn't keep her in the state hospital because she was so disruptive and carving pentagrams in her chest with her fingernails. And so they sent her to a hospital in San Antonio, and they sedated her for 2 weeks, apparently, because she was so disruptive and they couldn't control her. And she was coming out of this, and that's when Wayne wanted to meet with her. And ironically, or again, it's not an irony, but the Lord set it up where Wayne had the chance to meet this little girl, and he had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think, a week before. And so he was prepared to hear what he heard and to know what to do with it. And we went, we talked to one of the pastors here in town and asked for his advice and counsel. And then we went on to San Antonio, and I got to talk with the mother while Wayne talked with the little girl. And I really powerfully sensed that evil that was on her. The mother explained to me that she was a Southern Baptist. She'd showed even the letter to her Baptist pastor, and he said it was a fad and not to worry about it. The mother was frantic because she wasn't getting any help, and even the hospitals weren't helping. The mother sat there and told me that when after this little girl signed the contract, that she came into the room and their pet cat was so startled by the evil that was on this little girl that it jumped and pulled its claws out of its paws, left them in their carpet. And this is the mother telling me this stuff, and she's saying, "I can't get anybody to help me." I mean, and was very discouraged with her own church as how that they had just blown it off as, "And there's no such thing, and don't worry about it," and yet she was living with it. And that day, again, this was back in the May of 90, we were pretty new at this and still are, but I finally joined Wayne and tried to talk to this little girl, and I said, "Can we pray for you?" And she said no. And she wouldn't make eye contact with me. She kept jerking her head to the right and left, and I kept looking at her. And we've since learned that when there is a pretty heavy demonic attack or possession, whatever you want to call it, that they won't make eye contact. Sure enough, she would never make eye contact with me. And I said, "Well, can we pray that you have your free will to choose to get out of this?" "No, I don't want to do it." Well, at that point in time, we did not come against that thing in her face in front of her mother. But you know, we were since told that we were probably talking to the demon the whole time, and that we never were talking to her, and they didn't want prayer. Well, thanks to the Lord, he sent her on to apparently some folks that were more experienced with this deep kind of a penetration, and Wayne said he happened to see the same little girl here this month in San Antonio, and he said on the phone that she was in good spirits and good clothes and seemed to be a new person, and that she had been in a program there in, I believe in San Antonio, the Exodus program, which deals with bringing people out of these cults and stuff, and that they apply, you know, not only the medical understanding but the spiritual understanding that's needed for this. And again, this is pretty serious, and the things that this little girl did during this time in the cult and stuff, we can't even talk about, because it was the most horrible things that you can imagine. But you know, the evil is real, and that's part of this, kind of all comes together, I guess. And you know, you want to do what God says, but sometimes you kind of go into areas where you're really not comfortable. But we got to remember, it's the Lord, it's not us, and if he gets you into a situation, he's going to take care of you. And that's the way it was with Wayne and I that day. Some conclusions, you know, that I'd like to share in summation here is believe God first. He still is, you know, working supernaturally in this world. And when the right conditions exist, when his timing is there, and it's set up, he works a miracle. And, you know, his will to heal is pretty clearly stated in the Bible. And y'all study the scriptures and know them very well. By his stripes we are healed, and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he's even gives himself Jehovah Rapha, the name, and the God that heals your diseases. And Jesus spent a lot of his ministry healing people. He never ever said to anybody that came to him, sorry, you're not ready yet, you know, you haven't suffered long enough, or you haven't, you know, you're not ready. He never rejected anybody that came to him for healing. And so in the big sense, there's no doubt that God is on the side of healing and wholeness and wellness, but he is a sovereign God, and timing is very critical, apparently, and how he works all this out is beyond human comprehension. But it's important to realize that he wants to heal us, and that it's okay to ask and just trust him with the results. You know, it's important to get into position to receive the healing that the Lord wants to give us. We're supposed to seek the healer before we seek the healing. Now, there are some times when I have heard that he has healed somebody before they got saved, then they got saved. And God can do it every way. He's sovereign, and he does it. But it's a good general rule to seek the Lord before you seek the healing. And also the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Often when we've prayed for people for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God has healed them of what they had while we were praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, which is just that deeper commitment to the Lord, to yield to him 100% and ask for his gifts. You know, there's certainly to clean up any major sin that's in our life, and none of us are perfect, but you know, he wants us to do that. He wants us to forgive anybody that's living or dead that we have unforgiveness to, and that's you know, for our benefit, to get that off of us, and that's important. The occult is another area that's very you know, serious and a very major block, and we need to renounce all occultic oaths that we've taken. If any of us have taken those, we need to, you know, break any curses that have come against us or that we've brought on ourselves. You know, one in specific is that most people don't recognize, but that's a real block to physical healing, is an involvement in the Freemasons. And I was forced to deal with this with my own dad, who had was given a 2-year death sentence from the doctors with an incurable disease. And he was a 32-degree Mason, and that's a story in itself. But he in prayer renounced the Masons, and the reason that's important is because they're the largest, you know, secret occult organization in the world, They deny the unique deity of Jesus Christ. They teach salvation by works. The members who were deceived, I mean, a lot of good men and women like my father are brought into that, and they are, again, deceived into what they're getting into, but they take dozens of suicide-type oaths. And it's okay in any lodge in the world to say the name of any God except Jesus Christ. That's the one name you're forbidden to say. Now, some lodges may do it as outlaw lodges that are supposedly Christian, but their official order from the international level, which was policies primarily set up by Albert Pike, who was their preeminent philosopher, hated Christ and hated Christianity, and supposedly was a worshiper of Lucifer. And so, in any event, those kind of occult ties, if a person's in that, needs to be dealt with, and God can do it. And you know, there has to be sometimes prayer, and you have to deal with Satan sometimes before they can even do it. And in the case of my dad, I actually, outside of the window when he didn't see me after he'd refused prayer and refused to announce him, I said, "Satan, get away from my father in the name of Jesus Christ. He belongs to Jesus, and you don't have any hold on him. Give him his free will back in the name of Jesus." Said that, went up, Sherry and I prayed. And then I said, "Dad, can we pray for your healing? Would you renounce the Masons?" And he said, "Yes." And so there are things that keep us from receiving. And if we can get those blocks out of the way and look into our own life, that certainly can help. You know, we got to ask. We got to believe that God can do the miracle. And we got to thank him in advance before we even see the evidence of it. And, you know, apparently healing is by degrees. And we don't understand that. It's cumulative. But the heart's more important than the words. If you communicate right with the Lord, I mean, if your heart's right, the Holy Spirit will work out that. You don't have to be perfect. God's going to take care of that. You know, even though God can work in a lot of different ways, and like you pray here in your church, and I'm sure he works just fine through the different ways and anointing of oil, for this Southern Baptist so far, we have not seen that. I've yet to anoint anybody with oil. I mean, God can work through a variety of ways, but he is not inhibited from working any way he chooses, any time he chooses. We've found that God, it's an appeal to his love, his mercy, because our works and our goodness are never going to be good enough to deserve anything. It's because of Christ and his love that he pours this out on us. And that's really the area we need to appeal to, is his love for us. And as Dr. Carpenter here in town said, you know, you can't put a crowbar under the Lord. And you can't force him to do something by doing all these formulas and check off the blocks. And if I do A, B, C, and D, God's going to have to do this. It doesn't work that way. You know, we have to come to him as a child. You know, Jesus said, call God Abba, you know, call him Daddy. He, you know, come up to your daddy and say, "Daddy, I need this, please." And appeal to him from that way. No one church, no one denomination, no one person has it all right. You know, and there may be a few claiming they do, and when you hear that, that's the ones to really watch out for, because there is a lot of deception out there. There is a lot of fraud. But the real stuff is still going on, that there are still real miracles and still real healings. And Satan counterfeits that. I mean, and Jesus warned us about that, so we really shouldn't be too surprised when we find out there are counterfeits in our midst, because we were warned. But that's why it's so important with us, you know, to be truthful in everything we say. And what I share in my testimony is what the people have said back to me. What they have said in their words, I've tried to not go beyond what they have told me themselves or their doctors have told me, but keep that, you know, truth buckled around our waist, the armor of God. If we're not building on truth to start with, then the whole thing's going to fall down. I mean, if somebody's not healed, if you're not healed, don't say you're healed. I mean, if you still got manifestations of a disease, you don't have to say, "I don't have a disease." I mean, God's not asking us to detach our brains. I mean, if we've got a problem, we need to ask him to take care of it, and we can say, "God, you know, I need this help, and I thank you for helping me even before I see it. But you don't have to deny it, and this, you know, name and claim it, and this health and wealth and all that stuff almost looks real simple, and it kind of takes away the sovereignty of God. You know, that's an aspect that we need to remember. And then the timing is so precise on how he does this, is that we just need to be yielded vessels and pray when he says pray. And remember that he may have other purposes like salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and let him give you what needs to be done. And he'll do that. Seek his face, read the Bible, study the scripture like you're doing. Believe the scripture. You know, many of our, like our own denomination, has at times avoided scriptures which we don't fully understand, and that we miss a blessing when we don't. We study the Book of Acts, but our Sunday school lessons write all around parts of it that would deal with what's there for the New Testament church, and we really have to read the Bible straight through ourselves. And ask the Holy Spirit, tell us what it means, and believe it. But there's blessings out there we're missing. You know, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And God says it right there. So, I guess, you know, that's pretty well what I have to say tonight. I just know that we got a good God, and he wants to help us. And we need to try to be humble as he moves us into this, and it's neat to see him work, but we have to always remember it's him and it's not us, and we really need to be sensitive to those we pray with, because it's not up to us to determine in advance whether the healing is going to happen. God says, you pray, and I'll take care of the results. And that's the way we kind of have to pray. And if there's other things that'll be need to be dealt with, usually God somehow sovereignly brings that up in that situation. We have to be open to his voice and to other things that happen. So, you know, don't give up. And the Lord honors his word. And I'm just thankful that he's let us see what we've seen. There have been about 36 or more now people that God's healed, and some of them have been very dramatic, some of them instantaneous, but some of them happen over time. I guess God does a lot of different things, and the changes he's made in us, and with my wife's disease that she had, I wanted to, you know, when I knew God could work miracles, I said, well, let's just pray a prayer and make everything well in this instant, fixed. But it didn't happen that way. It took place over time, and what was happening is God was changing me, and which at the time I didn't know I needed any changing, but you know, God sees the whole picture. And so, you know, a healing takes place over time. A miracle is instant. But keep asking. If you've got the need, keep asking and keep searching, and he's a good God. And I thank you for the time. If I could, let me say a prayer now, and then we'll still do however that you would want to do the rest of the service, Reverend. But let me just ask a blessing on this group right now, if that's okay. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for this time tonight. Lord, I just would ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would just pour out your healing virtue right now into this body, and that you would just touch every person here that needs your touch, Lord. And if there's those that need salvation, Lord, I would just ask that in the name of Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you would convict their hearts so that they would receive that tonight. And Lord, if there's those that need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just pray you would touch their hearts so they would just yield 100% to your lordship in their life and would ask for the gifts that you would have for them. And Lord, if there are any that need physical healing or emotional healing, spiritual healing, God, just whatever it is, financial healing, just in the name of Jesus Christ, that would be done. And Lord, I just ask your blessings on every person here in this church, and I just thank you, God, for a fellowship like this in Kerrville that is not afraid to seek your face for physical healing and to give you the glory. And I just ask that you just bless every person here and work powerfully through them. I just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.